Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome out there in Radio Land. It's an honor and a blessing to be here today to speak with you. I'll be coming from the Book of Psalms. That'll be Psalms 81, and we're going to be discussing the meaning of Psalms 81. And we're also going to be discussing some current events that surrounding Psalms 81. So let's get started. So many of the Bible's main ideas are echoed, you know, in the Book of Psalms, like praise, thankfulness, faith, hope, sorrow for sin, God's loyalty and help. And at the heart of all Psalms, there is a deep trust in God. That's the whole matter of the Book of Psalms, is there is a deep trust. It leaves you with a deep trust in God. So Jesus, you know, asked the question, can the bridegroom's friend be sad when the bridegroom is not with them? That's coming from Matthew 9:15. A bridegroom is a man getting married. So can the bridegroom's friends be sad when the bridegroom is with them? Okay, let's look into that. So what Psalms 81 means? When we read Psalms 81, we have to remember the covenant. Everything that we do would take us back to the covenant. No matter where, what we do, you know, where you are, you know, in the Bible, or where you are, you know, in your spiritual warfare, is always going to take you back to the covenant, the marriage with God. So the covenant that I'm speaking of is the children of Israel marriage to Yahweh. This covenant was given to Abraham, and it consisted of three separate parts: the promised land, which has already been given, the promise to the descendants, that's you and I, and the promise of blessing and redemption. Now, this is where we are in this covenant today. We have unclaimed blessings. We have the blessings, the promise of blessing and redemption, and we have the promise of the descendants, you and I. These are unclaimed blessings. So Psalms 81 says, hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there should be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. See, that's an unclaimed blessing. We have not opened our mouth wide in order for God to fill it. When we open our mouth wide, we're opening our mouth wide with praise, thanksgiving, songs. And those blessings, when we open our mouth wide, he's pouring in blessings, okay? So that means, you know, when you hear, you know, being blessed in the city and blessed in the field when you come and when you go, that's being opening up your mouth wide and God fulfilling it, okay? So, but I can't talk about redemption unless I talk about Psalms 107 and 2. It said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. There are seven blessings of redemption. Because you are redeemed, the Holy Spirit is upon you. Because you are redeemed, you are reconciled to God. Because you are redeemed, there is an uninterrupted cleansing of the blood. Because you are redeemed, you are sanctified. Because you are redeemed, you are perfected. Because you are redeemed, God does not remember your sins. Because you are redeemed, you have victory and protection. Now, those are the blessings of redemption that we hadn't even gotten to yet. Those are blessed. Those are unclaimed blessings that we as the children of Israel have not claimed. Okay, so let's get to the meat of Psalms 81. Okay, so Psalms 81 is basically a gathering of God's people to listen and obey. See, the story in Psalms 181 is a harvest time. And when we pick fruit and vegetables, the children of Israel had three big harvest times. April, when they picked barley to make bread. May, when they picked wheat also to make bread. And October, when they picked grapes to make wine. Wine is a drink with alcohol in it, believe it or not. Okay. All right. So Psalms 81, there is a festival going on. The festival was at the time of the grape harvest. They call it the Festival of Tents, or tents were houses made of animal skin. And at this Festival of Tents, the children of Israel lived for a week in tents. This taught them how they lived when God took them out of Egypt hundreds of years before. It told them how good God was to them. Psalms 81 taught the children of Israel that now that God had bought them out of their own land, they should have no other God before him. Then he would give them enemies, as he did in Egypt. In verse 1 and 4, Jacob, which is another name for Israel, God of Jacob means God of Israel, okay? Really, you know, there were two festivals. The festivals in October, one was when the moon was new, and then another 2 weeks later when it was full. They were both in verse 3, but the second one was the Festival of Tents. Older Bibles may call it like the Feast of Booths or Feast of Tabernacles. So verse 6 and 7 tells us about the hard work that God's people did in Egypt. In verse 8 and 10, God speaks to his people. He warns them, tells them of the danger of other gods. These gods are false gods because there is only one real God. Open your mouth wide means open it as much as you can. Tell the story. Tell your testimony. Send out praises. Send out songs. Just open wide your mouth, and I will fill it, thus said the Lord. So that may be with food. Sometimes people just need food, you know, with the right words to say and pray, you know. Not the wrong ones, like in verse 10 and 11, like in 11, verse 11, follow their own ideas. That means, say, you know, they was doing whatever they thought they wanted to do. And verse 13 and 14 suggests that following their own ideas, you know, have brought a lot of trouble. The Psalms does not say what the trouble was, but it does say that if they obey God, the trouble would stop. God would make their enemies obey him, verse 15, and be good to his own people, verse 16. So now the Psalms is in part 3. The book of Psalms is in part. The Psalms 81 is also in 3 parts. Verse 1 and 4 is the festival. 5 through 7 is what God did in Egypt. And 8 through 16, trouble, tells about the trouble when we have other gods. In the first part of Psalms, okay, a call went out to God's people together, you know, suggested by their first gathering as people, as slaves in Egypt. Now, God spoke to his gathered people and began then with reminding them of the great deliverance that he gave to them in setting them free from their slavery. This Psalms was most appropriate invitation to the covenant renewal during the feast when God's people reflecting on all his acts in the past. Let us remember that we have been eased of far heavier burdens, okay, delivered from severe taskmasters and free from a baser, you know, dungeon, the intolerable loads of sin, the cruel tranny Satan. We have been, you know, we got to understand what God has delivered us from. So you call, God says, you call in trouble, and I delivered you. God will hear those who cry out to him. God hears the groaning. He heard the groaning of Israel under the burdens of slavery in Egypt. That was in Exodus, you know, the second chapter. You know, he brought deliverance to them through wonders and leaders like Moses. The secret place of thunder was Sinai. The shrouded in smoke and, you know, the terrible voice. It was a test. It was like in the next verse, it was like, I tested you at the waters. God not only delivered Israel, but he also trained them and tested them at the waters, was an example of this. You know, so God miraculously provided water for a complaining and unbelieving people. That's in Exodus 17. He tested us. You know what I'm saying? So the story of Israel is only our own history in another shape. God has heard us, delivered us from slavery. I'm talking 400 years now. I'm not talking thousands of years ago. I'm talking about recently, 400 years ago, liberated us. And too often our unbeliefs make the wretchedness return of mistrust, murmuring, rebellion. You know, we went right back to the same thing. So God's in verses 8 and 12 was really significant, because this is where God's rejected call to Israel came. Hear, O my people. Before God instructed his assembly of people, he first called for their attention, telling them to listen. God looks for listeners as well as singers, you know, on whom, you know, sober lessons of the wilderness will not be lost. There should be no foreign God among you. So 400 years of slavery in Egypt exposed Israel to the many pagan gods, the same 400 years that we just suffered through. Command God gave to Israel is the same command he gives us today. When the Israelites came out of Egypt and when we came out of slavery in America, we were commanded not to worship any foreign god. And that same commandment we're under now, the same commandment, there is no change. The only thing changed was the time. But God is a covenant-keeping God. So the covenant is never going to change. The covenant will never change. We made a covenant with God. And God is a covenant. I can't, you know, stress it enough that he's a covenant-keeping God. And there is no way out of it. There is no way out of it. God said he was going to raise him up a nation that will obey. And God is not a liar unless you say God lied. Okay? So the problem is that the world does not know God. How can we expect it to? The problem is that people of God do not know God, or at least they do not act like they do. Instead of worshiping the Lord and him only, Christians seem to be worshiping the gods of, you know, secular culture, gods of wealth, pleasure, fame, status, you know, self-absorption. And God say, I am the Lord your God. God's commandment to put away every foreign god was entirely reasonable. He was Yahweh, the God, the Lord, the covenant God of Israel. He was the one who bought them out of Egypt, and he bought us out of slavery. No foreign God had done such a thing for either one of us. Okay? So, back to open up your mouth wide, and I will fill it. God made a promise to his faithful people. If they would, in faith, anticipate God's provisions, God will provide. The reverse is also implied. God will not fill the closed mouth, the one with no anticipation of faith, okay? So just picture a nest of little birds reaching, you know, out their mouths, you know, for their mother to feed them. All their mouths are open wide as they can get it, okay? This shows us that whatever we do open to God, he will fill. What we can't open our mouths bigger than he can. We can't open our mouths bigger than God can fill it. We open our mouth wide when we have a sense of need and when we are hungry. We open our mouths wide when we ask for a large thing. We open our mouths wide, you know, when we understand the greatness of God we pray for. We open our mouths wide when we pray on Jesus' merits, not our own. You may easily overexpect man, but you cannot overexpect God. If your cup is small, don't blame the fountain. That's all I'm saying. Don't blame the fountain if your cup is small. And then it goes on down and says, but my people would not heed my voice. After all that, still would not heed the voice of Yahweh. This was the great tragedy for our people. God was ready to fill the faith-filled open mouths of his people, but they would not obey him. God said in sorrow, Israel, what? Israel would have none of me. I mean that we didn't even want anything to do with God. Rebellious Israel rejected God, who had done so much for them and would have done much more. So God says, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart. That was God's judgment against his unbelieving people, to give them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsel. One of the greatest judgments God can bring is to simply leave us alone to our own stubbornness and foolishness. It reveals a constant method of God with his disloyal and disobedient children when they will, you know, not go his way. He lets them go their way. He permits them to learn by the bitter results of their own foolishness, folly, which he would have had them know by communion with him. But no, you want to go out there on your own merit, do your own thing. But the same thing God could have taught us if we would have had communion with him, and the burden would have been less easier. So God's sorrow over a stubborn Israel. Oh, that my people would listen to me, God said. The tragedy is ironic. God says of Israel, my people, they belong to him, and he had claimed them, yet they would not listen to him. They will not walk in his ways. There's a sense of longing in these words. You know, just hear, you know, God's desire to bless his people and to do good for them. The affectionate tone, just listen to the affectionate tone of the verses. He goes on to say, I would soon subdue their enemies. And hey, black people, we have, well, children of Israel, I'm sorry. We have no greater enemy now than we did when we was in Egypt. This is an unclaimed blessing that we need. We need God to subdue our enemies right now, today, year 2020, when all these racial fronts are at us. An unclaimed blessing. I would, if you will listen now, I would subdue their enemies. If God's people would only listen and obey, God would subdue our enemies and fight for us against our adversaries. Enemy, find the sharpest weapons against us in the armory of our transgressions. They could never overthrow us if we did not first overthrow ourselves. Sin strikes a man, strips a man of his armor, strips us of his armor, and leaves us naked to our enemies. They stripped us of our God. That's the whole point of the matter. They stripped us of our God. We are butt naked out there in front of our enemies. And then it goes down to, I would have satisfied you. This psalm ends, you know, on a sad note, you know, filled with the tragedy of missed opportunities, you know, and unfilled potential. God would have richly provided for us and satisfied us if, and that little word, that two-little word, if is a big word. If his people would have listened and obeyed. See, and we still have the opportunity to do this. We still have the opportunity. But, you know, being the children that we are, you know, we got to get to a point in time where we are on our destiny to meet our Creator. You know, no, he didn't say you was going to pass, everybody was going to pass away and die. No, a new heaven and a new earth was going to come down. Everybody ain't got to go nowhere. A new heaven and a new earth. Now, this is a promise. This is a promise of God. This is not something, you know, that man said. This is a promise. And these unclaimed blessings, we need them more than ever. We need those unclaimed blessings. We need to be redeemed so we can get our blessings, those seven blessings. You know, we can. We need to start opening up our mouths wide and saying, I am redeemed. This Bible says in Psalms 107, the second verse, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, when God delivers you from the hands of your enemy, hey, let me tell you, just imagine how you feel. It's like fire shut up in your bones when God delivers you from your enemy. Now, just imagine if we all got together, okay, and opened wide our mouths, the blessings of the redemption would come down on us. This is where we are in the covenant. We are at the point of unclaimed blessings. I want my blessing. I need my blessing. And you're not going to stop me from getting my blessings. Because you keep your mouth closed. Don't hinder me from opening up my mouth wide. I don't care what you say about me. I'm going to open up my mouth wide, and God is going to fill it. I can't open my mouth wide enough, you know? So let's get to this covenant, get back to this covenant that we have with God, because we can't escape it. You cannot escape the covenant. Once we came under this, and I'm saying we because we're the same people as the Israel that was in Egypt. We're the same people that crossed over the river, okay? We're the same people, the same children of Abraham. We are the descendants. I'm hungry. We're the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay? So we're tied into this blessing. We're tied into this blessing, this covenant. So we have to understand that before we can go any farther. If you don't know, then where are you going? You can say, "Oh, the covenant that was in the Old Testament." There is no such thing as an Old Testament. Your testament might be old, but this is a ever living, eternal covenant with God. We can't change that because the covenant was signed in blood. That means that my children's children is going to be tied to the same covenant. Now, they can be tied to the blessings or they can be tied to the cursings. That's totally up to the children of Israel now. It's totally up to us whether our children's children are tied to the covenant with blessings or the covenant with cursings. I don't care how, you know, that's why the church doors are closed, because it lets you know. You can go in there and shout all day long, all night long if you want to, from the sun go up to the sun come down. If you are not honoring this covenant with God, then all the other stuff is in vain. Yeah, I said it. It's all in vain. Because the covenant is where our blood lies. So let's get back to this covenant. Let's get back to this Psalms 81. Let's get back to where we are being obedient as the children of Israel. Okay? So let's get back to this harvest time. In the book of Psalms, we celebrate every holiday that these pagan gods have out there. But if you're following the Hebrew calendar, or even if you're following the festivals, the God, Yahweh, has said these are the days in April, May, especially October. This is where they're making the wine. So they was having a joyful time. But I was okay with God. that was okay because they had signed this covenant. Everything was happy. Everything was good. Everything was to celebrate, celebrating these festivals and remembering our God, remembering how he delivered Egypt, Israel out of Egypt, and how he remembered African-Americans out of slavery here in America. Let's get back to this festival where, you know, we are taught that God brought us out of these lands and there should not be any God before him. And he would deliver, and he delivered us from our enemies because we want to straddle the fence and jump back and forth into, you know, slavery. You know, God said that was going to happen because that's part of your cursing, because you have not fulfilled this covenant. And God is not going to let us forget it. That's why the church doors are closed. Back to that. That's why the church doors are closed, because he was in there not honoring the covenant. You know, every church has a covenant, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that church had a covenant. But you honor that church covenant, but you will not honor God's covenant? That's why your church closed. God ain't studying that covenant you got with no building. He ain't studying that covenant that the preacher wrote out or whoever wrote out. He ain't studying that covenant. How can you make that covenant more important than God's covenant with man, with us? Can't do that. You can't do that. That's why your church doors are closed. And I don't feel bad about it. Because it said, gather together. I love it. I love gathering. I love gathering. We should gather. Gather at these festivals, though. Gather for a reason. Don't gather because it's Sunday, which is another pagan holiday, because that's a sun. That's a worshiper. When you praising and worshiping on Sunday, that means you worshiping the sun. Saturday is the Sabbath day that God proclaimed as his day. I'm just saying. The Sabbath is the day that we're supposed to be honoring and worshiping God. Well, Sunday is okay, you know, for ordinary things you want to do, but Saturday? That was an ordained day. That was a holy, sanctified day. That's a day that God himself said, this is my day. Okay? We can. So your church doors are closed until you get that part right. The church doors are closed until you get the covenant right. The church doors are closed. The plagues are going to still be out here. Everything is going to happen and happen and happen and happen until we, the children of Israel, honor the covenant. You don't get that part. The world is all out of balance because of the children of Israel. They will not honor God. We were supposed to show other people how our God, the power of our God. Now other people be showing us the power of their God. Really? Okay, well, I'm going to end this today. I mean, I could really go in a couple of things, but I'm going to end it today because my time is running out. But I hope you enjoyed, you know, what you've heard so far, and go back and, you know, read the book of Psalms 81. Don't forget to go over and read Psalms 107, you know, about the blessings of redemption, because these are unclaimed blessings. But peace and blessings, my sisters and brothers out there in radio land. Thanks for stopping by and listening to me today. You know, I'll come back to next Saturday, and we're going to talk about these blessings and curses. You know, these blessings and curses, because they have a lot to do with what's going on in 2020. God bless you. All praises due to Yahweh. Children of Israel, open up your mouths wide so that Yahweh may feel it, and we will be blessed when we come and when we go.